The Quiet Heart by Susan Barry. Narrated by Siobhan Dowd. Chapter 1. The French clock on the mantelpiece chimed 11 delicate, silvery chimes. Alison rose and approached the tray that Mrs. Davenport, the Daily Help, had just brought in and set down on a rosewood table. And she ran an anxious eye over it to make absolutely certain it held the requisite number of cups. They were all delicate examples of expensive china, rescued by Alison when one of the periodic turnings out of closets and store cupboards at Leyden had taken place. She had managed to amass a number of things that she valued and the then owner of Leyden did not. Fine linen, lace-edged towels and pillow slips, mammoth sheets that could be split down the middle and utilised as a pair, silver dishes and a pair of silver wine coolers that were wonderful for displaying flowers. The French clock on the mantelpiece had been thrown out because something appeared to be wrong with its mechanism, but Alison herself had put it right. She was clever at doing little jobs like that, clever at quite a number of things. The girls, clustered before the window, gave voice to a concerted shout as the car drove under the arch. "He's coming!" Marianne rushed to the oval mirror above the fireplace and frantically inspected her appearance. Jessamy watched excitedly. Lorna whistled softly.
"A Mercedes Sport! I'd have one myself if I could afford it. It's the only car I'd really like. What colour is it?"
Marianne rushed back to the window.
"Letterbox red, and it looks new, all gleaming and gorgeous. My goodness."
The breath catching in her throat.
"He's quite something, isn't he? Dark and devastating. But all the Leydens are dark, aren't they?"
"Devil's brew, Mrs. Davenport calls them."
"Rubbish. What does she know about them anyway?"
"She used to work for the family, was nanny to this present Leyden. Wonder if she'll greet him rapturously despite the things she says about him, and he'll let her cry on his shoulder, 'My dear old nurse,' and so forth."
"Don't be silly,"
Lorna said crisply, contemptuously, because her information was correct.
"Mrs. Davenport worked in the kitchens when she worked here at all, and the present Leyden was born in New Zealand. If he had a nanny out there, she was probably a Maori."
"I wish you girls would come away from the window."
Alison, who all at once was feeling quite consumed by nerves and apprehension, protested in thin, taut tones.
"And if Mr. Leyden can see you, he'll think you're behaving very vulgarly. And if old Mr. Minty's with him, he certainly will. Is Mr. Minty with him?"
The two older girls backed decorously from the window, but Lorna remained at her place of vantage.
"Mr. Minty is driving his own car, and as always it looks as if it's about to fall to bits," she reported. "Wouldn't you think that man would buy himself something new, when you think how often clients leave him money in their wills? Quite large sums. I wonder he's got the nerve to take it and go around like that."
"Shh!" Alison exclaimed, biting her lip as the footsteps came along the corridor.
"Be quiet, they're coming."
Mrs. Davenport preceded them, hobbling along on her rheumaticy limbs, rapping sharply on the stout oak panels of the door.
"The gentlemen are here, Mrs. Alison, ma'am,"
she said hoarsely. Alison stood stiffly, as if at attention.
"Do ask them to come in, Mrs. Davenport,"
she said quietly, and from the musical cadences of her voice, no one would have guessed that at that particular moment she felt as if the whole of her future was in the melting pot. And her anxiety was so great that it clouded her brain and rendered her incapable of anything really inspired. Mrs. Davenport withdrew in order to allow the gentleman to pass her in the narrow oak doorway. There was a coat of arms above it, let into the panelled wall, and it was the coat of arms of the Leydens. The present incumbent, as it were, was tall, dark, and impeccably dressed.